Welcome to On the Hunt, a Flutter podcast. My name is Matt Carroll. I'm your host and chief of the Flutter Bounty Hunters. Today, I'm joined by Jeff Bunn, founder and primary developer of an app called Clearful. Clearful is a personal journaling and mindfulness app, which is available on Android, iOS, Mac desktop, and is in beta on the web. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
Sure. So I tend to like to start conversations about companies and products at a high level and then boil it down to more specific details. So to help the audience out, can you talk about what Clearful is and what kind of value it provides to its users and customers?
Sure. So to back up a little bit, before Clearful, I had another app called MealLime. That after a number of years, it did really well. It was in the App Store in Google Play. And it was a meal planning app, and it was acquired eventually. So at the time, I wasn't technical. So I took some time off and tried to learn how to code. And it was very difficult, and it remains difficult, but has been really rewarding.
What role did you, there was that app that was successful. Were you the founder of that as well? And does that mean that you kind of, you just contracted the work out based on the UX and the product that you wanted to see?
So my girlfriend at the time, now wife, and I started this company together kind of on a whim, and it was a meal planning product. So, you know, we had trouble cooking for two or one person, you know, quick, healthy meals, that kind of thing. So being non-technical, the first version of this product was a WordPress site, a MailChimp account, and we just emailed people PDFs once a week. We didn't even have photos at the beginning. So it was really bare bones. After a while, you know, we grew it in various ways, but I was working at a tech company at the time, and I kept in touch with some coworkers, and I ended up leaving the company. One of my coworkers left the company, and we stayed in touch. And he first started as a contractor. So we wanted to get off this whole PDF thing and build a web app. So he helped us with that. And then later he started working more and more with us and came on as a co-founder. And then we pivoted eventually to mobile. And that's when the app started to really work. So this whole time I had various starts and stops of trying to be technical, but you know, when you're running a company, you just kind of have to do what needs to be done. So that's just always what I did, but I always wanted to learn. And, once we exited, I had that time and, I guess moving forward. So now I've started Clearful with my wife, same person. And, this time I'm the developer, so it's quite a bit different.
Yeah, well, I guess you're partners in more ways than one, huh?
We are, yeah.
And so what kind of timeline was it between exiting your successful meal prepping app and company to, let's just say, conceptualizing or having a strong intention to create this thing that's now Clearful?
Yeah. So we gave ourselves a couple of years where we wouldn't really have to worry about getting a job. I could spend all my time trying to learn how to code. You know, we could try a bunch of businesses because we wanted to do the whole thing again. But it took about a year. I mean, I was dabbling, building various things. I'm sure as you know, when you're learning development, often you build a note-taking app. You know, it's just kind of like the first project. It has a lot of the pieces that are
actually surprisingly difficult in Flutter. If you really want to do it. So I'm surprised it wasn't a to-do app.
Yeah. It should have been. I guess that's the other quintessential project that one builds. But initially it was a web app just because, you know, that was easier. Flutter was a bit earlier. I knew of it, but I didn't, I hadn't done any mobile development myself. I had dabbled a little bit in React Native with our last company. But just had never looked at Flutter. So once we built this web app together and we quote unquote launched it, you know, we had billing in there, but we never really did any marketing. It was just a full featured product that was good to do. We took a step back and we thought there was space in the App Store for the journal that kind of we wanted to build. So I had been journaling for a long time. The software I was using, as they tend to do, got very cluttered. And they tended to be focused on just writing about your day, which is valuable by itself. But I always wanted to try to improve myself, find out where, you know, if you look back, I'm having the same problem. Maybe I should try to fix that. Something that would guide me to do a little bit better. So in the App Store, it felt like there were a lot of, or there were many solutions that were freeform writing and not a lot of guidance. And on the other hand, there were a lot of apps that were super focused, only guided, but you couldn't do the freeform writing if you wanted to do. So our idea was to kind of marry those two concepts and combined, I guess, with our previous experience in the app stores, we thought we would have an edge or a little bit of an edge and at least give it a shot. So that's how Clearful came about. And since launching it 2.5 years ago, I think now, we've just been adding features and trying to improve it.
Okay. And sticking with the value proposition for a moment, in your experience, what are some common examples of ways that people can improve their lives with journaling? What might that look like for someone who maybe is new to journaling?
Right. Well, there's the very basic things that a lot of apps do try to do, and that's just practicing gratitude. You know, it's so easy to just forget all the good things in your life, and, you know, doing a 5 or 10 minute practice, or honestly, even a couple minutes, it does tend to help mood. So, I mean, I still do that every now and then. A big one, though, at least for me, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, is looking back at entries you've written, things you've done, or things you haven't done, and seeing if there's been change or no change. And that's the biggest one for me. You know, like, I still see things or problems that I have that I wrote about like 8 years ago. And, you know, and I'm still trying to fix it. And, you know, you try in various ways. But having that ability to intelligently bring up old entries to push you to write about this topic, maybe you don't want to, or maybe you've been having trouble with. At least for me, that's one of the biggest benefits of journaling. And then lastly, there's, how would I describe it? It's like the lived memory of your day-to-day is different than what you recollect later on. You know, like you change what actually happened. Your memory isn't the same. So to actually have the true event written down, I find this pretty interesting because I feel like sometimes I remember an event, but when I read about it in Clearful, it happened totally differently than I'm storytelling to somebody else. So there's a lot of benefits for me, at least, in journaling and for a bunch of our users as well.
Yeah, for sure. So what year was it again that you said was a 2.5 years ago that you said you started the Clearful journey?
I think so. It could have been 3 at this point.
Do you remember if it was 19 or 20 or 21?
So what is it now? We're in 24. I think it was the fall of 2020. So it's been just over 3 years.
Okay. So like the end of the first COVID year.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's, I think it's helpful for the Flutter developers in the audience to always have a year, because it can kind of set your, it establishes like how mature was Flutter when maybe you first came upon it. Although you said,
right,
you said you began with a web app, and that,
yeah,
that was a React web app or a Flutter web app or just basic browser technologies, or what did you use to build that initial version?
I ended up building that in Vue at the time,
okay,
which I think was turned out to be a really good thing, because on the one hand, now I've learned React and we have, you know, various other projects that I build in React. But if I had learned React at the time, I think I would have chosen React Native, I don't think I would have gone for Flutter. So I think that was a good fortune.
Yeah, crisis averted.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and how was that? So, I mean, I've dabbled with the various web technologies, and Vue was one of them. At the time that I used Vue, it was early in the life cycle, and it was positioned mostly as a true UI. It was kind of like the user interface parts of React without all of the other stuff forced upon you, which I thought was great. It gave me a chance to actually learn how to use this thing, whereas React, I was like, I don't know which way is up. But how would you characterize your experience? You came coming from largely non-technical point of view. You get dropped in the world of browsers, which is a 30-year hackathon, and you're working with this thing called Vue. How did that process go for you?
Well, it was difficult. I generally describe learning development as just banging my head against the desk every day. And I think just doing that for years. So actually not a whole lot has changed since the very beginning. You run into an issue, you Google it. Nowadays you ask ChatGPT maybe, but the
Right.
process tends to be the same. But I felt the same as you looking at React. It felt like a beast, whereas Vue felt a lot more approachable. I think it was Vue 2. I don't even know what number they're on at right now, but it did feel pretty simple. It felt approachable. I mean, it was still hard coming from nothing, but it was a lot easier than getting started with React in my case.
True. Now, obviously today, you have a lot of Flutter code used for Clearful. So somewhere along the way, things must have shifted. You also, it sounds like, are primarily mobile and Mac desktop. What was the process and the learning experience that led to a shift in technologies, as well as perhaps a shift in target platform?
Right. Well, when we decided to look at mobile, I actually have my old co-founder to thank. He complained a lot about React Native at the time, and he mentioned Flutter, and for some reason, it stuck in my head. So when I was ready to look at mobile technologies, I just knew of Flutter. And I think when he was exploring, I don't know if it was 1.0, it might have been pre, so it was really early. So I took a look at Flutter. I didn't give a very hard look at React Native. He kind of scared me off of that. So I looked at Flutter. I took a course, which was really helpful, and then just kind of tried to replicate what I had done in the web app, which I basically just threw out. I didn't, didn't try to port anything. I just started fresh. But yeah, Flutter has improved a lot over the years. At the beginning, we were only targeting iOS and Android. And I'm trying to think back, but I think even Mac wasn't in beta at the time. I can't quite remember, but it was early
Yeah,
days, basically.
if you were pre 1.0, or even for a while after 1.0, desktop support wasn't there. And in fact, at the time, there was a community desktop implementation that existed, and the team wasn't clear yet as to whether or not they were actually going to embrace this desktop thing. Thankfully, they did, because in my opinion, that's a massive market. So many of the like if you want to build, I guess Mac is not too bad in that you can kind of borrow existing iOS skills, and these days Swift UI is going to be meant to go to both places. But Windows, I think, is a totally different experience, a lot more complicated, a lot lower level stuff. And then Linux for sure, that I think C and C++ remain pretty prevalent there as base languages, which are just infinitely more complicated than Dart. So I'm very glad that Flutter went to desktop, and that's what, I build myself little utilities on desktop as well, just to help me do my job. So
Nice.
I think that's a great advance in the Flutter team. I'm glad you've been able to take advantage of that. Now, you mentioned you took a course, and I don't want to spend too much time on that, but I'm always curious how people take that first step. Can you tell us a little bit about what you did in that course and how it helped you go from zero to at least being able to experiment and hack with Flutter?
Right. That's taken me back a bit. So it was Angela Yu had a course. I think it was App Brewery or something. And I think actually Google may have supported it in some way because it was really inexpensive. And I think it was one of the more popular courses at the time. So it was typical course format where they get you to build, you know, like five or six or seven different apps, different UIs, nothing really, no databases, no backend stuff, just UI, exploring how to lay things out. I think at the time provider was the new hotness for, in the Flutter ecosystem. So there was a lot of talk about provider, passing things in context, that kind of thing. So just at the end of it, mostly getting familiar with laying out UI, obviously Dart. I had never looked at Dart before then, but I liked it at the time from the very beginning, and that hasn't changed. So really happy with Dart. And then I think I was at the same time as going through this course, starting to build Clearful. You know, you'd learn how to lay this out or do whatever. And then I'd copy that in Clearful. So I was kind of going back and forth. And I don't remember if I finished the course. Me, like everybody else, you know, you start a course and never finish it. But I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. And once you have what you need, I guess it's fine to move forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you took the course, you hacked on a bunch of different little UIs. Then you said you went and started your web app over again. So you cleared everything and you started building a Flutter web app for Clearful. Now you say today web is your web version is in beta, which means clearly a lot of time has gone by where something shifted into mobile and then perhaps to desktop. What was it that drove that shift and how did that all play out?
Right. So the first web app that I built in Vue was almost a separate project. It had a different name. We hadn't named Clearful. We hadn't really thought of it as a business at the time. So I think of those as kind of distinct. When we made the decision to learn Flutter, go mobile, build a journaling app for the App Store, it was a brand new project. So we were only going to target iOS and Android. We completely threw out web with the understanding or hope that Flutter would progress and we would be able to release on those platforms down the road, which we have been able to, which is fantastic. So web, we did our initial release last fall. And part of that was waiting, not necessarily waiting, ensuring that Super Editor would work well enough in web that we could feel good about it. And, you know, there are various issues with web generally, but we've just thrown that beta label on it, even though it's the same code base and things run pretty well. All the features are in web that are in mobile and in desktop, for the most part anyways. But yeah, to answer your question, to start, it was iOS and Android, and then we moved into Mac. And now, quite recently, we've moved into web.
Got it. Tell us a little bit about what those early versions of Clearful looked like. What kind of feature set were you able to ship in the early days? And looking back, no one ever gets it right, of course, but looking back, did you perhaps wait too long to ship the MVP? Did you maybe miss some features you wish you had in the MVP? Or do you feel like you identified that minimum viable product and you got it out there in the App Store?
It's a good question. So if I'm looking back and thinking about things I wish I had done differently, it's not necessarily on the technology side. It's more on the marketing side, actually. So with MeLive, with our last app, we were really fortunate in that when did we launch that? 2017 in the App Store and later on Android. And we just managed to rank really well for various search terms. So ASO, App Store Optimization, we just ranked really well. So we had organic traffic from the start and it just kind of kept building. So we could really focus on product. We never really had to worry about acquisition. You know, we could worry a lot about retention, keeping people. So we came to Clearful with a similar mindset. You know, we did keyword research. We felt like the opportunity was there. But I guess my advice to new app developers would be to, it's much more competitive than it used to be, to build up a list of people who on day one are going to download the app, use the app, rate the app. Because in the first 7 days, at least on iOS, you get a bit of a rankings boost. So if you can have people taking advantage of that, that would help. So all this to say, the initial version of Clearful was pretty basic, but you know, you could write entries. We had a small library of journaling prompts and templates that we curated. So that was a kind of the differentiating feature. But if I could do it again, I would do a lot more promotion before releasing.
Yeah, for sure. And when I think about it, Superlist, they had, I think, a closed alpha for a long time. They had a closed beta for a long time. And even now, I think they're technically an open beta. But that may have accomplished some of what you're describing, which is bring in that initial user base, grow it. And as you grow it, you fix the bugs. And then at some point, you're ready to just release all those people into the general population. Maybe that was
part
of our strategy.
Yeah, I think I'm still in their test flight. So I'm not sure if it's available or not.
Yeah, I actually can't remember either. I thought they said it was open beta, but certainly, I mean, they're going to have test flight builds forever would be my guess. I think most companies do, because if nothing else, when you are going to release a new version, you send it to test flight early, as the name implies, and make sure nothing blows up. And if it does, you roll it back before it goes to the app store. Okay, so early on, I guess what you wish you had done more marketing, but what kind of, and you mentioned that you released a version with templates as a kind of differentiating feature. Are there any other features that you had in those early versions that you'd like to mention?
Sure. Well, we had this feature from the start, which remains my favorite feature, and it's called Rediscover. And it's kind of like Apple Photos on this day, kind of memory. So every day I'll open Clearful, I'll get a push notification about it, and it will bring up my old entries on a schedule. So a week ago, a month ago, 3 months, 6 months, and then on every year. So it's just awesome. You know, like when I started Clearful, I just wrote a script to import all of my old entries that I had written all over the place in various other tools like Evernote. So I imported everything. So I have things in Clearful from like 9 years ago at this point. And it's just so great every day to open that and see, you know, how things have changed, how they haven't changed. Just kind of see what was going on in my mind so many years ago. So that's definitely my favorite feature. But we have a daily question that changes every day. And then the library, we have hundreds of pieces of content that we've curated in various topics. So, you know, if you want a journal about work or family, or there's a ton of topics there, you can find what you're looking for. It's kind of an interesting space now with, this was a pre-AI basically when we launched, and now content is an interesting space with people being able to generate it on the fly. Often it's not not the highest quality, but anyway, it's just an area we're exploring.
Yeah,
there's lots we could do there.
Everybody probably does have to at least explore it at this point. Otherwise, somebody else comes out of the woodwork utilizing it, and then you're behind the eight ball.
That's right.
So you delivered those initial features in mobile app form, and it was, again, it was with Flutter. Let's try to break down the Flutter experience in two perspectives. One being, what kinds of things do you remember that Flutter gave you that you were really glad you had? And what kinds of things were you trying to achieve that seemed maybe obnoxiously difficult in Flutter at the time?
Well, the obnoxiously difficult is really easy to answer. And that that's just good text editing. In this case, we wanted rich text editing. But man, it was rough. Actually, going back, that's how we first got connected. I think I bought an hour of consulting from you to try to get help on fixing my very bare bones attempt at a super basic rich text editor. At which point you told me about SuperEditor. So that was great. But yeah, text editing was by far our biggest issue.
And just to set the stage for everyone, because most people building apps probably don't end up worrying about text editing. I mean, being in the journaling space, you can't, I mean, that's the center of it. You can't avoid it. But a lot of people build utility apps for this or that, or they have a text field and that's about it. When you came into that problem space, what were some of the things you were trying, and how was Flutter, like, what did Flutter give you and what did they not give you at that time when you were just dropped into this world of text editing in Flutter?
Yeah. So if we just wanted, you know, a text field where you write a single line, maybe you submit it for whatever reason, you know, easy, no problem. A multi-line text field is fine. You know, they can enter a block of text, no problem there. But what about bolding? You know, what about italics? In our templates, we wanted some headers, you know, H1, H2, H3. We just wanted it to look nice. We wanted people to be able to personalize their journal because it's a very personal thing. So when I started to think about how to solve that, man, if I went to look back at my old code, I had text editing controllers everywhere. You know, we had a really, really basic implementation where we had bullets and numbers and headers, but you couldn't hit return to create a new line if you were in one of these widgets, because it was literally just a row, you know, right, with a container to make the dot, and that
Although
kind of thing.
To be fair, to this day, our list items in Super Editor are still just rows with a dot at the beginning. But of course, everything around it, of course, is a bit different and a bit more complicated. But at the end of the day, a list item is still a dot next to some text in a row.
Yeah. The difference in this case is I can hit enter, creates a new one for me, which is great. You know, I can double tap and drag selection across various nodes. We couldn't do any of that. So, right. So like at first glance, our really basic text editor looked okay. You know, like we had formatting, but once you dove into it, it wasn't very functional. So that was definitely the most difficult part. Back to your question about what was easy. I mean, most of the rest of it was pretty easy. You know, just building various containers, UIs, very basic animations. No real problems there. Routing, I mean, it was really basic at the time, so not a whole lot. We didn't have deep links. We didn't have to worry about URLs and that kind of thing that we do now. I mean, the rest of the experience was pretty good, but text editing just took all my attention, unfortunately.
Right. And like you said, that's how we met each other. I forgot it was through the consulting hour. It's actually happened twice now. So it happened with you. It also happened with Turtle. Turtle's a company that their business kind of changed directions, and it led them in a path where Flutter was no longer the right tool for them. But for a while they were using Flutter, and they actually initiated funding and creation of Super Text Field, which ideally is an even more configurable text field than what Flutter gives you. But he also called in for an hour of consulting where he's showing me his code. He's like, what do we do here to get this text field to do what we need? And I said, well, listen, I can hack on that for you, or I can just go build a new kind of text field and you guys can use it. And so that's what we ended up doing there. So it's interesting how things work out.
I think what I'm hearing is you need to do more consulting to get more people into Super Editor.
It's the website is still up there. And for some reason there was a somewhat regular, I mean, it was always a trickle. Like it was never I never got a lot of people in there, but for a while there was a trickle of people. I would appear on my calendar for an hour of consulting here and there. And then somewhere along the way, it just kind of dried up. I'm not sure what happened there, but it ended up being a situation where I don't know, people thought they could use an hour of my time to have me solve like a month worth of work.
Yeah.
Like, listen, that's not how this works. Like I can review code. I can give you a direction, but I can't just sit here in an hour and, you know, build an entire infrastructure for you. So I'm okay not having those calls anymore.
Yeah.
Now, obviously I don't want to focus too much on Super Editor because I don't want to make it too much about what we've done at the Flutter Bounty Hunters, but are there any other details or any other process along the way where Super Editor added new features for you or opened up doors or anything beyond just, we ran into this problem called text editing and Super Editor was a kind of drop-in configurable solution for that?
Yeah. So I guess all the rich text editing, I won't talk about that anymore, but Super Editor gave us all of that, which was fantastic. One feature though that a lot of our users wanted and we were kind of dragging our feet on was adding images to entries. And, you know, I could have done that, just added it in an area above or below their entry, not really difficult, but we really wanted inline images. And that was a bit more of a problem with my Mickey Mouse little editor we had built at the time. So Super Editor eventually enabled that for us, which has been great.
I guess I should clarify that one point, because I think in the world of web, at least, when you say inline images, what comes to people's mind are image tags in the middle of text. And I will just clarify that we allow you to put an image node wherever you want in the overall column between paragraphs, between list items, but we can't put an image in the middle of text because of largely fundamental Flutter constraints. We've wanted that since day one, and Flutter has kind of made that nearly impossible on us. So for the record to the audience, technically not inline images, they're block level, but it's true that you can put them anywhere in your overall document layout that you want.
Yeah, that's right. I still remember the long-standing open issue about that, I think.
In
the Flutter repo.
In Flutter, but also in Super Editor, because I think one of the original founders of Superlist, who is no longer with the company, but he filed a lot of the initial issues as to what he wanted us to build for Superlist, and that was one of the first ones in there, and it remains in there to this day, some 2.5-3 years later. I would love for Flutter to do something about that, but it's one of those things where they just keep, you know, speaking of dragging your feet, they're dragging their feet on that for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, other than the editing, the rich text editing itself, images were a big improvement for us, a big feature that users wanted, and they're really happy about it. I guess it's not really a feature that users were asking for, but we ended up helping to fund a variant on Super Editor called Super Reader, which is just displaying the document rather than being able to interact with it. And we use that quite a bit in our app as well to show old entries, to show templates, that kind of thing. So that's been really helpful as well.
Yeah, and I'm very appreciative that you guys helped to fund that. I think there have been a number of other little clients or maybe even individual developers who have made use of Super Reader. So it has been a value to the community even beyond the use in the Clearful app.
That's great.
So looking beyond, so we have document editing, we have document reading now. I think we're still in early days, right? We're still in early days of the Clearful story. So
we are, yeah.
Okay. So at that point, I assume you start kind of spreading out with the feature count. Is that right? Or did it go a different direction?
Yeah. So it took a while actually for us to get the rich text editing in the app, because Super Editor initially targeted Mac, right? And
yep.
You were probably annoyed by me asking about mobile support, but that eventually came, and we just launched Clearful with Super Editor and images less than a year ago. I think it was March of last year.
Okay.
So that was a big change and a huge feature that we were able to release. And since then, we're just trying to add more and more without the UI just getting worse and worse, which tends to be the fate of most software products. We did just release a feature that people seem to be really excited about. It's weekly and monthly reviews. So once a week, if you've written an entry during that week, a new item will show in your journal, and it'll be your weekly review. It'll have your entries in it. It'll have insights. It's really cool because it's totally magazine style. So it just looks really nice. You can scroll through it. All of your images are in there. And this is our first feature where we've implemented some AI. So it's quite the complex feature because they have to consent to AI. We don't want people to not understand that we're going to send their entries to this service to get back some information. But in this case, it does some really cool summaries. It'll pull some quotes from your entries, talk about, you know, your achievements, your challenges, who you spoke to or mentioned in your entries. It's actually really cool, and the feedback's been awesome so far. So we're going to go down that direction a little bit more. And we're using Super Reader, you know, showing the entries in all those cases. So right. I feel like in every part of our app, there's some of your code going on there.
My tentacles are everywhere. You can't escape.
They are.
It's a funny little story. Multiple times people have shown me autopilot or copilot code recommendations. Where in Flutter code, it tries to add a comment that says to do Matt Carroll. And I think what happened is there were enough of those in the Flutter framework when I was on the team that now all these bots that read the code have decided that's something they should auto hint and auto complete for people.
That's funny.
It's like, where do I file a ticket to like at least replace that with a better example of my code? I don't need to be the to do guy everywhere. So you mentioned a magazine style layout, and I think I saw you post that on Twitter/X, and I thought it was looking pretty good. Is that overall layout coming from the AI service, or are you doing that layout in Flutter code?
We're doing the layout in Flutter. The AI portions are just text at this point, which we then lay out into different widgets to try to make it look nice. But we're designing that ourselves in Flutter.
Okay. Well, it looked great. And speaking of recent times, you had one, if not multiple, I think, features in the App Store or App Store related publications. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's been really awesome. Some of the App Store editorial team members have taken notice of Clearful in various regions. So we're in Canada, so the Canadian editors have been really generous to us. And we have had a number of features in the US and the rest of the world. But it was especially good recently because, just like with meal planning in our last app, January is the time, you know, that you want to take advantage, because people are trying to build new habits, you know, New Year's resolutions, be healthier, be happier, all those things. So it was really great that we were featured top of the Canadian App Store, specifically for this new weekly review feature. And recently, we've noticed that's just moved to the US App Store, although we're not quite at the top yet. So we're hoping that bumps up soon. And then actually in the fall, we had our first app of the day, which is, fantastic. That's one of the
And what is App of
best
the
things you
Day?
can get. It's when the editorial team chooses one app and they feature you in a card format in the Today tab of the App Store. So it's front and center. Tons of people see it, and then you just generally get a lot more traffic on that day. Actually, years ago, there were reports where you'd get tens of thousands of new people like just from this app of the day. So it was the coveted thing you wanted. But like due to the competition and changes in the App Store, it's not nearly as good as it used to be. But it's still a signal, that this is a good app. And it's really just a great milestone in our journey. So we're really happy about that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, for people who monitor apps for a living, to pick yours out of the 10 million apps that exist, that's definitely a great achievement. So I would say that, probably among Flutter-based journaling apps, of which there are a few, I think it's fair to say that Clearful is the most visible and, depending on how you measure it, most successful. Of course, users don't think in terms of technology. They don't even know what Flutter is. Where do you see yourself in the broader landscape of journaling apps?
Yeah, that's a good question. The landscape is changing quite a bit. So we have some legacy apps that are really big, maybe not innovating quite as quickly, big user base, more so about journaling about your day, that kind of thing. So we're competing with those. And then we have the newer apps that are more single purpose, which actually, if you're thinking about marketing, it kind of makes it easier. It's sometimes a little tough when we're describing Clearful to people to say, you can do the daily journaling, write about your day, but there's all this guided stuff that will help you if you have a goal, personal growth. This is kind of what the journal's about. So it's kind of tough to tell that story sometimes, where a lot of these other apps are single purpose, like mood tracking. And then maybe you can write a line or two at the end of the exercise. Or, just visually journaling, that kind of thing. And the third group are AI first journals. So they generally don't focus on or at least market encryption nearly as much because they can't if you're going to do, a whole lot of AI stuff in the back end, but really powerful in their own right. So we're trying to, it's tough. We're trying to go a little more in various directions without losing what we already are, without giving up on privacy. We want to go the other direction on that. But at the end of the day, a lot of users actually, like you say, they don't care about technology. A lot of them really don't care about the technical details of encryption and that kind of thing. So we want to go further down that path, just because I think it's the right decision for the user. But it is an interesting trade-off nowadays with all these tools that can do analysis and everything on the entries. So we're just trying to figure out exactly which direction we want to go, and just grow the app. We definitely need to grow more. But we do have a user base that's pretty happy, so we don't want to upset them either. So there's a lot of directions, and most of the time we're saying no to new things.
Right. Yeah, that sounds like the right thing to do is prove why you need it instead of prove why you don't need it. Now, in terms of competition, and I don't know the details on this, but one thing that did recently happen was Apple announcing some kind of support for either first-party journaling or somehow putting journaling into their own offering. What is it that Apple launched exactly? And do you think at the end of the day that's a net boon or bane for what? what you've spent all this time building?
Well, I remember the day it was announced, and that was a very depressing day for me. But since then, I think the jury is out. We don't know how it's going to affect things. On the one hand, you know, it's a free app, end-to-end encrypted. You can use it on all your iOS devices. It looks pretty good. So they have, you know, a lot of features that are compelling to users. But what we're hoping will happen is they're just raising the profile of journaling generally, you know, because now there's going to be millions, tens of millions, maybe more people that weren't really interested in journaling, and now they're going to be exposed to it. So it could be a kind of scenario where, you know, what's the saying? The rising tide raises all ships.
That's right. Yep.
So the jury's out on that. But they did launch it with a pretty interesting and I think unique feature. So it's the Journaling Suggestions API. So they do a lot of on-device machine learning of your messages, location, photos, everything. And they've exposed this API to other developers, which I think is a first and kind of interesting. So we did integrate with this on day one. And basically, there's a button in Clearful. The user can press. It brings up an iOS-specific sheet that we have no knowledge of. The user can pick various moments that Apple has compiled for them. And then they can send it back to our app, which we then display nicely. So it's actually a pretty interesting feature. I've been using it myself quite a bit, and I like it a lot. As to the implications, I don't really know. We can't notify people that they have a new moment available, whereas Apple does that to me every day. So it's kind of interesting. We'll see how this all ends up.
Yeah, Apple likes to grant themselves their own special little privileges, and
they do.
How nice.
They do, and we this API you have to. The user has to press a SwiftUI button to invoke the API. So being a Flutter developer, that was a little bit annoying to, you know, have to write some Swift code to bring it into Flutter, to send the data back and forth.
So
it was a bit of an exercise.
Is that displayed as a platform view in your Flutter UI, or do you pop up an entire Swift UI popover, pop-up, or screen to have them press that button?
So it's a platform view. So we've integrated it within another Flutter UI that we've built. So it just renders as a button. And the user thinks it's, you know, just a typical button, but it is a Swift UI button. And then when they press that, the Apple sheet comes up.
Okay.
And we're thinking of actually creating another version of that button because it's kind of hidden away. Maybe we'll floated on the editor. We're not quite sure. So exploring that right now.
Yeah, platform views are a little tricky. And for those in the audience that don't know quite what a platform view is, there are certain things that really can't or won't be re-implemented in Flutter. So for example, Google Maps, they're not going to re-implement that in Flutter. So instead, if you want to display a Google map in your Flutter UI, the Flutter system punches a hole in the Flutter UI, an empty rectangle, and then composites the actual Android or iOS version of the map into that empty rectangle, and that's how you end up with your final UI. So, Jeff, in your case, you're punching a little rectangle the size of a button, and then that Swift UI iOS actual button UI is composited inside of the Flutter UI. So it's a real tricky scenario, but hopefully, I know for a long time it was pretty buggy too, but hopefully the Flutter team has long since made it a dependable way to show platform UI.
Yeah, we haven't noticed any bugs with it, other than kind of shocks me, but Apple released this API, but it's not available on iPads, which is kind of bizarre. So we had a bit of a crash that I had to scramble to fix. trying to show this or invoke this API
well, in these days,
when it wasn't supported.
iPads are running like iPad OS now, right? Like it's no longer even iOS. Is that correct?
You know what? I don't even know. It's a really good question. Like in App Store Connect, it's the exact same app, like the iOS and iPad version. Mm. You know, there's like a designed for iPad toggle. I should really look into that. But in any case, this API does not work on iPads, as I learned.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, there's some weird things like that going on. I think Apple is trying to figure out how to go from where they've been to where they need to be, and we're in a bit of a transitionary period. I'm sure right. Vision OS won't make that any easier on anyone, but we'll see what happens with that.
That's right. I've actually tried to compile Clearful on Vision OS, having some issues, but they have designated this Vision OS as this same design for iPad that they do for Mac if you don't want to release a separate Mac app. So kind of interesting. They're trying to ease into it, it seems.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems like their first stop is putting up a 2D rectangle in front of your face as if you took it right off your desktop and put it in front of your face.
Yeah.
And then I imagine over time we'll see more and more little three-dimensional elements moving around in that space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's I hope that Apple doing journaling stuff does not interfere with what you guys are trying to do. I mean, from a legal perspective, there's typically never an option there, but I find it annoying that this company that owns the distribution platform comes in and essentially replicates what others have spent years building on that platform. I had a friend who released a mindfulness breathing app, which was doing pretty well.
Yeah.
And then at the next Apple event, whatever it was, they announced, oh, hey, now shipped on every device is this iOS mindfulness breathing app. And at least for some time, it actually did have the counter effect that you were describing, which it's sent more people to his app than before. But in the long tail, I don't know if they've been able to survive Apple shipping that for free, because again, people also hate paying for stuff. So I will hope that Apple enables you more than countering what you've been doing. And it's exciting.
Yeah, I hope so too. And yeah, it's tough to know, right? Because there are still a lot of notes apps that, you know, are doing really well. They have great businesses. But at the same time, Apple Notes gets better every year, like pretty slowly, but man, it's pretty full featured now. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
I guess that's the benefit of going multi-platform though, right?
That's true.
With Flutter is if you switch to Android or you want to journal in your web browser, you'll still be able to do that. So we're hoping that's a bit of a sticky factor as well.
Yeah. We'll hope that Apple's fixation on their walled garden will convince them to never create multi-platform tools. In that way, you'll always have that advantage. Well, I think that's a great story so far. And it sounds like at the moment you've got some great marketing boosts with highlights and features in the app store. And we'll hope that certainly continues. Is there anything that you'd like the audience to know about where you plan Clearful to go from here? And also, where can users go find this app? And is there any other place you'd like for them to go related to Clearful?
Well, clearful.com, really easy to find us. But I would ask the listeners to search for journal in the App Store or Google Play and scroll until you find us.
Yeah, get those rankings up there. Go get those rankings up.
Yes, if you can help our rankings, that would be great. Yeah, as for Clearful, we're just planning our 2024 roadmap right now. But the gist of it is we want to make editing smoother, faster, nicer. A lot of that is around Super Editor, but it's also around just the UI generally. How does the app make you feel? Is it delightful to use? Getting rid of, I listened to Jeff Bezos on his first podcast recently, and he talked about paper cuts. they would have a team that would just deal with paper cuts. You know, the little things that that annoy users. So we definitely want to keep getting rid of those, improving performance, making it really snappy, making it a great place to journal, while investing in those features that really differentiate us. So a lot of guided content that's contextual. We want to go deeper on these weekly, monthly, we're going to have quarterly, biannual, and yearly reviews too. So that feature is never going to stop. I was working on the monthly portion today, and then I'll think I'm done, and then I'll work on the next portion next. So we'll continue working on that, trying to give people insights about their journal entries rather than just having a ton of notes saved somewhere that are never resurfaced, that you don't learn from or get joy from. So yeah, I guess that's what we're going for. The roadmap's not done for this year, but it should be done soon, and then we'll have a better idea.
Sounds good. All right, well, we'll send the audience, if you have to out there, those of you listening to this, you can go to clearful.com, but first open up the App Store or the Play Store, search for journaling. Is it journal or journaling?
Let's go with journal.
Journal. So go search for journal in the App Store and the Play Store. Scroll down to Clearful and install the app so they can rise up in the rankings. And we'll look forward to a future of Clearful where those paper cuts get smaller and smaller over time.
What a great outro.
Yes. So, Jeff, you know, thanks a lot for joining me today. And I'm glad we're able to get your story out there and that you're able to continue making progress. And I also very much appreciate you and Clearful's funding of Super Editor and related technologies, which we've been able to give to the entire community for free, thanks to the funding that you've provided. But with that...
Well, thanks, Matt.
Yeah, for sure.
And thanks for your work on Super Editor. Hey. It's really been fantastic for us.
I'm happy to do it. It's a lot of fun to work on interesting problems. You know, when I was on the Flutter team, it was like you kind of just did whatever you had to do. A lot of it wasn't very interesting, wasn't a lot of fun. And so the great thing about working on open source is you get to solve interesting problems and you get to solve them for everybody. And so it's great. So here's to our continued partnership in the world of all things text editing and document reading.
That's right.
All right. Well, with that, my name is Matt Carroll. I'm chief of the Flutter Bounty Hunters, and I'll see you next time on The Hunt.